Hello, podcasters, podcast listeners. We are back here at this week's Dungeon of Dudes. This podcast, we have two special guests this week. We have S.E. Thomas
from
the Night News.
Hello, S.E.
Podcast. And then we also have Hobbs, a.k.a. the Hobgoblin. He's actually calling in right now from Ontario. So we're very honored to have him here with us.
Thank you for bringing me in.
Let's just hear maybe a little bit about you guys first. I've got a couple questions here. Maybe we can dig deeper and kind of get to who you guys really are and why we should care about a podcast about you.
It's about us?
This one is
just about us.
Yeah, we've got a good topic today.
What's this podcast?
This is Dungeon of Dudes.
Dungeon of Dudes, okay.
Welcome to the Dungeon of Dudes podcast.
Thank you.
This one is an episode about a story. We're talking about a specific story today. And kind of the lesson we're going to be talking to you guys about is making your own city.
Oh.
In a Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Okay.
And we'll dig into that in a little bit. First, we're going to talk about a little context here to get us into the situation. And we'll see what's going on from there.
Okay.
What we should let you guys know is that we do, you know, homebrew D&D is always very fun. Basically anything in the main books we go by, but anything beyond that, sailing, maybe just weird features we're putting in. We do like to make our own rules for that and kind of make a little more of an immersive story with that. We also make all of our own maps, well, our DM does.
The rule of cool is very important. If you can justify why and how, it can work.
Also, if it's not fun, what's the point? Reggie from Nintendo.
Yeah. All right, so let's hear a little bit about you guys. Let's imagine this. I'm going to give you guys a little scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, after work, you guys get a little lost on your way home. You find yourself in a dark dungeon. Sounds of goblins bubbling through all of the wet corridors surrounding you because you've gone in way too far.
Is this IRL?
This is in real life.
Okay.
After work. What race and class do you think you would most identify with if you could pick it in real life? We're talking about D&D races and classes.
Like, what edition?
I'm a dude that finds myself in some sort of dungeon just on some reason. So this isn't like a tavern. This is a legitimate like castle dungeon.
Yeah. Most of the time we'll be talking about D&D 3.5. That's what most of us play here. But whatever is fine. We're all in the D&D realm.
Okay.
Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, no. So if I was just walking home, you know, I got my tapes from recording, and I just stumbled upon this weird dungeon. Do I encounter any guards or anything like that? Like, do I have to pull off?
No. I'm just saying, like, ideally, okay. What are you gonna be? Race of class. When
race.
Trouble finds you. What would you be?
I would say a dwarf, maybe.
Maybe you can elaborate on that.
Well, you know,
why would you pick a dwarf?
I'm a craftsman. What I do. And so, like, doing new stuff and various other jobs.
So it's helpful with work, and then when you get into trouble, you got like a smaller frame, a little harder to hit you, you're a little sturdier.
I can be a bit more, I don't know, I get some intimidation towards it. I don't probably have like thieves' hands or anything like that, but like if I notice something's broken, like they got like some duct tape around their headphones, I'm be like, here's this. I got my soldering iron with my tapes. I can
probably a little bit more like, oh, hey, I got my soldering iron.
Yeah, well, you want to still, like, throw that, like, intimidation wave at them, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's
like a Pokemon move, like, stare or something.
Yeah, it's like, I might not be dangerous, but I might also be, like, one of those really crazy dwarves you've seen.
It's...
Like, you don't know.
Yeah,
don't
like...
Don't mess with me. Don't find out.
Also, yeah, like, I'm not that tall, bit stout, so it's good to sort of seem like you're a tough dude. And if you fix stuff, you can possibly be a wizard. It's like, oh, are you a technomancer? And, like, maybe.
Okay.
Also, what happens if you start fixing it and you can't finish it? If you already intimidated them, what are they're not going to do shit.
You got a hot. Like, right, you have cool. A hot soldering iron at that point, which can be used as like a fire dagger.
Okay, instead of like being like, oh, this elf who just ripped me off, like I'm just gonna break all of his bones because they're fragile and small.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna do that to just a dwarf. Who, like, works out all day.
No, our meat. Smash. You can't eat our meat.
GTL.
Our meat is probably infamously not tasty amongst other creatures, so.
Is that true?
I don't know. I don't read these books.
Okay. That's just what you tell people, I guess. Okay.
I don't taste good. Okay. Don't eat me.
Okay.
It's written somewhere, I bet. Some all sort right. of slash.
Right. It is now. It is now. This is all canon now.
How about you, Hobbs? Find yourself in the same scenario. Troubles found you. You still got to work and deal with, you know, the stepkids, the divorce, everything. Everything that you kind of deal with in modern life, but you also get to be a D&D character.
So if I am now a D&D character, I probably would just say fuck it to real life problems and not really care too much.
So you just you'd go rogue.
I'd probably go rogue. Like, let's be real here. This universe is so open, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, police will come for you.
Well,
stuff,
no, but you realize.
This is true.
Like, you've seen the Rambo movie. You might do well against them.
Yeah.
But
they'll still be coming.
Eventually, you'll be working.
For you're saying 3.5, but aren't you thinking of like a weird contemporary Shadowrun type game?
Like, no. Like, I'm just saying, like, anytime you hear me,
police
speculatively be talking 3.5.
Right.
The other ones are fine. So, like, we're not getting into the stats of it all, right? If you want to still, if you're like, I can only identify myself as a diva inquisitor from 5th edition, sure. That's absolutely fine. We can talk about that. You know, that's just as valid as saying, like, I'm, you know, I don't really know how different they get, but like maybe I don't identify as a 5th edition thief, but I do identify as a 3.5 edition thief.
That's why being homebrewed school.
So we're not going to get into the details like that until the maybe some of our more technical ones.
So for my first choice, I'll explain why for the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So I would choose to be now. Prepare yourselves.
Yep.
All right. Give it to me.
And I'm going to be referencing 5th edition, so don't judge.
Are you the diva?
I would have to be a mousefolk alchemist.
Mousefolk?
Whoa, so you'd be like an other kid.
Now,
are you actually
now
tiny?
Now, mousefolk are actually like a homebrew race that I like to try to
you
put in wherever
them.
I can because they're so, so funny. I didn't make them. I found them online, but they are so funny.
This like, okay, like
mouse
other
guard,
kid,
right?
This is what you identify with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, that's so great.
Okay.
That'd be great. So, no, like you, it's like Persona or like some sort of reboot game where like you cross some sort of portal and then you just shrink down into a little mouse with a toothpick sword or something.
It's a mix of Persona and The Fly.
Now, I like to play them as they're kind of like a Redwall-esque mouse folk.
Oh, I've never read those books.
Like, they could talk.
They can talk. They're basically humans in mouse form, but they still look like mice. They're not like some weird deformed half creature.
Yeah.
Right.
They are classified as a small creature, not tiny, but small. So they're like the 2 to 3 foot range. Great.
So like rat size.
Well, I don't know if you have a 2 to 3 foot rat.
And there's definitely
are, but...
like 2 foot to maybe 2.5 foot size rats here in BC, just in the wild.
I don't
kidding
know if
me?
I really
Those,
believe
that's
that.
Huge.
I've seen huge ones.
Like, have you seen the movie Wrong Cops?
Have you been to
Those
the
are
zoo?
Big rats.
They are.
And no, those like, aren't nearly that big.
Ours were huge. Okay, here's
know.
What.
Here's
the ones
how I see near the SkyTrain.
Well, like you big. See tiny ones near size SkyTrain, but... Right,
we're getting off on a tangent here. We don't need to talk about rats.
At the old place, the old flop house we had. Like, there was huge rats.
I didn't...
You mean like the
I didn't see one rat
house?
There. I didn't want to see
yes.
anything. Let's not talk
okay.
about the place.
Well,
the place
we've all been down on our luck, and you know what? Like, we're out of that phase, and
it's like living in a hostel.
You're adulting now.
Yeah. We have a living room.
Had to fight for it, but we got it.
So anyways, yeah, rats get big. Moral of the story. Consult your zoo.
All right. Go on.
So, back to topic.
Yeah.
I would choose Nosefolk for mainly three different reasons. One, they're super small, like easy to hide in that dungeon. You don't really want to, you don't know if you want to fight everything. You might want to just sneak past and stuff.
That's fair.
Two, they have this handy little thing where it's called nimble dodge. You can just like dodge past people, can't touch you. No opportunity attack, nothing. Again, sneak away, just fucking book it.
So
you don't want to fight everything.
Even when you're at work, when the boss comes around at the end of the
yeah,
day,
you can just fucking
give
dodge
out some
that
more
door.
Work. One, two, boom, boom. You're gone.
You're gone. Like, they can't give you anything else to do. It's perfect.
Okay.
Now, thirdly, they have this handy little factor where it's called squirm, and they can fit through tiny little spaces. So, like, do you know how many shortcuts you could find in a dungeon that way?
Or even just, like, on your way to work.
Yeah, like, you could just fucking squirm through shit. You see a little tiny alleyway? Fuck it. Go through there.
Okay, but...
That doesn't mean your clothes will, though.
And also,
that's the thing. I'm not wearing armor. I'm not wearing armor in real life.
Like, you show up to work, just.
Oh, that's awesome. You get to work. Okay.
Plus, I got.
You have all your clothes, like, ironed and fresh and clean from the dry cleaners at your office or whatever. And it's in a closet, and blinds are down.
You don't even have to be in the closet. You can put it in, like, the air shaft. No one's going to know you're up there. You're tiny.
No. But aren't you going to form back into a human to do your regular, daggler job?
I don't know. Is that part of this?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, because it's like, we're talking about like today in real life. You got to deal with your girlfriend. You got to deal with your ex-girlfriend. You got to deal with your kids. You got to deal with everything.
Mouse folk disappear like nothing. Perfect.
Start anew.
You might end up with a lot of kids,
off
though.
The grid.
Hey, that's fine. Because I can just disappear.
Okay.
Just dip.
For the class... I really like the alchemist because it's basically like an unlimited source of any tool, like any little tool you could think of.
Yeah.
So like you got a big baddie there, fucking alchemist fire, whip it in their face. GG. You got like six guys chasing you. You throw down a little sticky potion, sticks all over the floor, slows them down. Fire potion. Get them all in one.
Kind of sounds like you just want to be one of those hoodlums over in Britain.
Basically.
Running around with your flask.
Some sort of alchemist. Ooh,
I'll just have a sweater on, just like hood up all the time. Just go full chav.
Yeah. Full chav.
Full chav. You're never supposed to go full chav. That's exciting.
Oh, who is that guy?
Chad.
No,
Chad goes full chav.
Chad the chav?
Yes.
Never mind.
Anyway. But yes, that, so to round it out, I would be a mouse folk alchemist.
All right.
To deal with that random dungeon.
Perfectly
situation.
Honest, I would need a lot of time to actually figure this out. If there was like a due date where this would just happen,
no,
I would
want, like, what you,
stay up a couple nights.
What
you know?
Spontaneous, you feel like, man. You just gotta go with your gut. Your
like
heart.
If I asked you what your spirit animal is, it's not like let me meditate on this. Shit. It's like, no, I just know. I close my eyes, I ask myself, a little voice comes out, and it knows.
Okay.
Tangent, sorry.
Yeah.
Fucking playing mouse folk in an actual D&D game opens so many more opportunities to just get past shit by pure cuteness.
Okay. Pure cuteness.
Unless
pure
you hate
cuteness.
Rats, because nobody hates rats.
I want to be Pikachu.
I don't want to get like discriminant here, but my new DM is a girl.
Okay.
And it just makes it, you can kind of, like, I could get away with stuff more than if
like,
I tried to do.
I'm a rat, but like, I'm a cute rat.
I'm a mouse, but I'm cute as fuck.
Think about Pikachu. Now think of something three times cuter. This is my character.
Pikachu's also hairless, though.
No.
That increases the cute factor, I think.
You see when he goes all lightning ham, like all those action montages?
Those are goosebumps.
Man, that makes him sound so much more terrifying. Like, picture Pikachu, but as like a sphinx hairless cat. That's terrifying.
I don't know. Do you ever see hair on him? Like, Growlithe has hair.
I was just saying, when he bristles, you see his hair, but you said, no, that's goosebumps.
That's goosebumps.
But I'm going to stick by my goosebumps claim.
You know what? I like that more because it makes it seem more dark. Just some hairless cat running around zapping people with its naked flesh.
Dude, nobody else wanted to hang out with him, which is why Ash was like, you know what? This guy's not so bad. He gets me.
He gets me.
All right. Let's pull this on back. I got another question for you. Another scenario.
Well, you didn't give us your answer.
Oh, sorry. I didn't think about this.
Okay.
Well, all right. So
you could see a lifeline.
Go from the heart.
You know.
What?
Pure spontaneous. Pure spontaneous.
Pure spontaneity. Well. I would. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be anything too exciting. Like,
human paladin.
No, that's way too.
Well, I mean, you gotta think about like some of the actual roles these people play. Like wizards, they have to fucking study every spell they do every day.
That doesn't sound too fun.
Nobody has time for that. Are you kidding me?
No, but I'd what about like a sorcerer?
I'd be a thief that could like.
Yeah,
play...
do you know how rare sorcerers are? You're born with this innate ability to just control magic, and if you mess up, you blow up everything you know and love.
Okay, it's called high fantasy for a reason.
Stakes
like,
are high.
It's like, oh, we're all sorcerers.
Except one of us is a lizard person.
I'm a lizard wizard. That's also a sorcerer.
Sliz wiz.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd probably be like an elf thief. I know it's not exciting, but like it'd be pretty common, so it'd be easy to get a job. People wouldn't be that discriminatory against me.
You'd live very long.
I could, I'd live a long time.
Oh, I forgot about that. For a dwarf too.
Yeah, so like I could just spend like 100 years just like busking. I don't know. Just like playing.
My ultimate job.
You could work for like 200 years straight, and then retire and just. Live for like 500 more years off that money you made.
For
sure.
So like, I know it's not exciting, but when you get down to the mundane stuff, it's like, well, how do I deal with this divorce? It's like, why don't I just outlive her and then go on with my
life? Because you know, as long as she loves you enough, she'll put all of her stuff to you in her will, and then you just keep fucking rolling them over.
I'd only date like
and then your
humans.
Children and your children's children that I probably don't have the longer.
Because like this is what you do, right? You marry a human, right? Because like everybody knows half elves are sterile. Mm-hmm. Like let's be real here. They're literally like mules.
And you keep obtaining more and more estates and wealth and
Okay.
And then they'll live a shorter life than you.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can just keep taking on their stuff as well. And you're just hoarding all of these.
I'm talking about modern day stuff, like easy stuff to move around, like money.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Plus, you could probably fit in with the higher ranks of society at that point. So, like, you just constantly marry into wealth. You're like, I'll put up with this for 30 years, whatever.
Yeah,
I got my shed.
You just make friends with a lot of people, then like 100 years down the line, when they're actually important, you're like, oh yo, what up?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I knew your great great grandfather. You know what?
Me remember all that chill. Free weed I used to give you?
Yeah, when you were a baby.
Let's
Maybe let's not tell your mom about that.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone's happy with those answers?
Sure. Why not? Okay. You see that picture I sent you?
No, I don't.
I don't look at pictures. Thank you very much. I'm not into that whole Instagram scene.
I'm working right now.
Sorry, I'm on a terminal web browser.
Yeah. No, I'm strapped into the host booth.
I'm plugged into the matrix.
Yeah, I got a date with the chair.
I got the chair.
Okay. On to the next question here. Next scenario.
Yeah.
So, okay. The night has been going long.
Mm-hmm.
Even the candles are starting to die out. You know, some people need to start changing them. You guys have been playing D&D for a long time now. Great rumbling emerges among the party. Everyone gets a little startled, but then a little more eased when they realize that, it's just our bellies. We're hungry. What kind of D&D snacks do you bring?
Well, I gotta fall back on my old.
Talk about must-haves. It can be a couple if you want. Maybe you just got one.
Hummus, beef jerky. And
hummus, beef jerky?
Hummus and beef jerky.
Okay. Do they have to be together?
Interesting combo.
Well, you get a lot of different combinations. You get some dried protein.
You talking about that, was it BKH jerky?
Oh, hoo, hoo.
Shout out to those jerky boys.
Shout out to those guys. Those guys are amazing.
They make a good jerk.
They make the best jerky.
Like, unbelievable. Like, I don't
care
where you live, you should order
it. It's this local jerky shop, Hobbs. That's fantastic. Oh, hummus, beef jerky, some sort of magical gluten bread that gives you like actual energy boost or some shit.
Does like I think gluten bread? Is the opposite of that.
Well, I thought it? We're still playing where it's like I live my day job. These are the snacks that I bring.
Like, well, no, this is like we're talking about real life, dude.
Real life. Oh,
this is all real life. Even the other one's real life. It's like you have to deal with a job and stuff in real life, right?
So, but these are snacks to play D&D with, or these are snacks within the realm that I live in.
I laid down the scenario for you.
Oh, okay.
You've been playing D&D all night.
It's just snacks that I would just have in my backpack. Will be the exact same as before, except probably more meat products because I'm a dwarf now. Like it'd be a lot more beef jerky.
It doesn't have to be ethnic for your dwarf.
A lot of cured meat. What?
You would have like cured meat and just like mead.
Like, yeah. Do you bring Mountain Dew?
That'd be great. No, it would definitely.
I know for a fact you drink porter. Tons of Mountain Dew.
Okay, no, like really dark porter, and maybe some of the spicier flavors from Mountain Dew, like Voltage. I like Voltage Mountain Dew.
Voltage Mountain Dew.
It tastes like Maynard's candy. I don't know what say.
All right. That sounds terrifying.
I'm wholly unimpressed with your answer, other than the beef jerky. Let's, Hobbs, what you got for us?
Do a so I'm gonna have to go with the classic Zazino, a pizza pie.
Okay,
pizza pie. All right, what kind of pizza pie?
Now, this is my preference, and I know over there you're gonna, but.
Hey, I just started eating Hawaiian. I'm starting to be
okay. Normal cheese, nothing special. Normal tomato sauce. Like, we're not fucking Italians over here. But with pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
Bacon crumble.
Bacon crumble.
And the piece de resistance, green olives.
Yeah.
Delicious. That's my go-to Zazino.
Okay.
But if this was like I had to fit this in my backpack and like bring it with me,
like you can order it there.
Dude, but I'm just saying, like
the year is 2018. You can just pay people to bring you stuff.
That's true.
Don't worry about that stuff.
Shout out to Uber Eats.
This is such a difficult question.
I'm asking you questions like they do on Hot Ones.
Okay,
right?
Like in Bright, what day did we sort of have this like? I don't know, civic revolution of having breeds intermingle. Like, this is a Bright type scenario. Like, Netflix is Bright.
Okay, stop worrying about the first question. We're beyond that.
Okay.
This is just, you're playing D&D.
I'm playing D&D.
Imagine yourself, like, any of the campaigns we play together and the stuff you come and show up with pizza, that I could tell them.
Pizza, Mountain Dew, Red Bull, maybe coffee, Red Bull or coffee, not and.
Can't steal my answer.
He's coming back.
I got a lot. I thought I was playing a different game.
You don't
I thought
have to
I was
answer
a dwarf.
All these as a dwarf, dude.
I literally asked that
question.
We're
not role playing.
Okay. Right.
Not right now.
Second choice for snack would definitely have to be double stuffed Oreos.
Double stuffed Oreos?
You gotta have some dessert with your Zazino.
See, they're good, but they always make all my fingernails black.
Well, maybe you just gotta not be a savage.
You know, I try to be good about it, and I don't know, but that's just always what happens.
Like, you gotta just pick them up. You don't have to talon them and claw them like you're a fucking raptor.
I don't. Trust me. Eat a lot of Oreos and then just look at your fingernails.
Are you talking like 3 to 4? Are you talking like rows?
I'm talking rows. At least one row.
You're just mowing down row upon row of Oreos.
Like over the night. Fun. I've done that where I've gotten Oreos instead of chips one night and then you just eat a
That's
ton
true.
Of Oreos.
We literally have finished a box of Oreos together in one sitting.
That's what I'm telling you. And then look at your fingers. I'm not crazy. It's a real thing.
Alright.
There's probably
all right.
a hashtag for it, but I don't do that. So.
Alright. Hostess with the mostest. Mm. What's right. your choice?
Best D&D snacks, for sure.
Smacks?
It's the snacks.
Best D&D snacks.
We got the beef jerky. Is it BKH or BHK?
I don't remember. BHK.
I don't know. They're in Vancouver. They're amazing. They're on Dragon's Den.
Catch them at Fraser and
get the
Kingsway.
Curry. You got to get the curry.
It's BKH.
Beef jerky.
BKH.
Oh, wow. Curry beef jerky. That is the bomb. That's what you get. Just a little spicy, a little sweet. Perfect.
Oh, is it B. Kim Heng?
I don't know. It
Shout
is
out
Thai.
If that's you. You make good beef jerky.
So that's mainly it, and then I don't know, probably just some pop or some juice. Cranberry juice.
I didn't even
is good.
Think about drinkables. Think fluids. Fluids are very important.
Yeah, I said black
porter. Ginger ale is always a go-to. So beer is usually good as well. But I'm a little more of a vodka boy now. So stick to some Stoli or something like that.
You've come to the big boy club drinking them spirits.
Yeah. Stoli is good. But yeah, kind of nice, simple like that. Pizza's good, but it can be a little heavy.
Yeah, especially for the lactards out there.
Chips are good, but they're loud and shit like that. So I find drinks are a little better way to go. But yeah, okay. Now this one's going to be a quick one, just for the viewers to, when they're envisioning all of these stories that we're telling them. Let's describe your dice set for me.
Dice?
Yeah. Describe your dice. What kind of dice do you like to use?
Bumblebee dice. I've been known famously for
it. I would describe them more as Charlie Brown dice.
They're, yeah, I guess that's fair. It's a different, it's not like, whatever. Yeah. I would like to have some Buck Bumble dice, which would have a nice 70s font. You know, something like classic, easy to read.
Yeah.
Not some of the,
not those elven font ones.
I got one of those elven. I was matching my other yellow set. So I have a couple D20s in case that ever gets cold.
Yeah.
But
you always have to be prepared.
You always have to be prepared in your dice set. Like, you know, you buy a couple extras of the type of weapon that you're carrying. Mm-hmm. So like just in your bag, you're like, oh, this is 3D7s or. So I don't know. I bought some of those elvish ones, but it's like it's hard to read. You drop the dice, you have to reroll or you don't get a reroll.
I think everybody agrees that they're terrible.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen them.
But a
nobody
nice
can read them.
70s font, like a two black on yellow, which I think is the easiest like color combination to remember. That's why it's like black pen.
Black and yellow,
pen.
Easiest color combination to remember. That's why I use it.
It is. That's what like that's why legal pad is with yellow paper and black pens.
Okay, buddy.
Well, that's my answer. I came prepared.
Okay. All right, Hobbs. Dazzle us. What you got?
For me, it's not really the font. It's more the color.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, I want, like, a nice Bumblebee Pikachu. Not even Pikachu's. Charlie Brown yellow.
Okay.
With black on top as the font.
For me, I like the shimmery metallic one. So, like, a nice, like, copper... Or like a brown color mixed with maybe like an iron,
mm-hmm.
on point for me.
But isn't that hard to read? Like, are you talking like engraved so you can almost like feel it if it's dark?
Or like shiny?
You know.
So it's not like, I'm not saying like solid metal dice, because like, let's be real here, you're going to fucking dent tables with that shit.
Yeah. Oh, remember that? Yeah, like that huge dragon dice? That was not fun to roll.
We had that huge D20 about the size of your fist.
Yeah, I have it now. It's the death die.
Yeah.
So you hear it when it rolls, and you be prepared for the whatever happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hear that thump, thump, thump.
It's like a softball.
So many people have died with that die.
Yep. Many tears have been shed over the rolls.
Oh my god.
So many.
But yeah, something nice and metallic, but like clearly legible. So like, I like the dark metallic with like the white numbers,
yeah.
So you can clearly see them as you roll.
Yeah. High contrast, I find, is very important.
And I always carry a minimum of 2 sets.
Okay.
So that's double of everything. 2d20s, 2d10s, 2d percentiles, 2d8s, 2d6s, 2d4s.
Yeah. Okay.
There's D12. Yeah, there's 2d12s too.
Yeah. No, I like the 2 sets too, because then I also switch the D20s between them. So it's just easier to see it in the pile of all the other stuff. Sometimes I'll switch out like the D4 as well, because those ones are obvious. But for me, I like the ones with little speckles in it, nice and kind of clean look, high contrast, usually dark dye with a light text on it. Kind of what I roll with, nothing too fancy. But yeah. So that's kind of the introduction. I feel like our viewers know a little bit more about us now, know where we're coming from. kind of dice we're playing with. all that kind of, all those goodies. Just checking the ledger here.
Homebrew D&D.
Yeah, yeah. So I just, you know, wanted to bring up to the crowd that we are doing, you know, a little bit of homebrew stuff. Some of the stuff you hear us talking about are not going to be exactly by the books. Like, I know there are legitimate sailing rules in one of the books. We just kind of made our own because we had our own map and our own kind of, you know, measuring and all that kind of stuff. So it was just kind of easier to do it, rule of thumb kind of way.
Take away the tediousness of what normal D&D is created into and put more into, like, fun.
Yeah, our DM was pretty good about that. And, it, you know, he does stuff for the sake of storytelling more so than he does it for the sake of doing it by the books, essentially. But for the most part, anything that's in the main player handbooks, that is how we play it by. And most of our stories are going to be D&D 3.5. Most of what we're talking about is pretty universal between them anyways. So it shouldn't be a huge deal. The main topic of today's episode, we're going to be talking about the story of Bearville. Bearville is a town that we ended up setting up. Kind of the story of how we got there, the kind of stuff that goes into kind of making a self-sufficient town in a D&D atmosphere. Kind of, you know, what use of is it? You know, when you're adventuring around all the time and you're not really sticking around in one place, why would you do something like this? We'll dig into all that kind of stuff. So you got some context about us. Why don't we talk some context about the actual campaign we were playing? So we had our party. Essentially, we've got some overworld stuff going on. That's not terribly important. It's a very long campaign. But basically, there's demon portals popping up. We're on our way to one of these demon portals. It's supposed to be in basically just the middle of the ocean. We get a ship. We go out there. Things go a little south. And we end up stranded on this this continent, this new continent we've never been to called Nolt. So once we were there, you know, obviously the first thing you want is a little bit of safety or some kind of HQ, somewhere where you can actually rest, kind of gather supplies, hoard supplies, stuff like that, so you know you can kind of survive the next couple days, stuff like that.
Another factor of this island is the fact that every bit of magic is enhanced by two. Yes. So, like, you're basically casting double strength spells like it's nothing on this island.
Yeah, and things are growing up like that, and just kind of increases the scare factor, that kind of stuff. Like, we're going to run into some insanely magical things.
We're going to run into some snakes.
We're mostly kind of physical party. Not too many of us are very magical at this point.
Literally none of us.
I think at that point, I died as some sort of wizard or whatever. Was that the lizard wizard, or was that, I can't remember if that was the same thing.
This was when you were a drow, and then this is back when we were evil, but there was a time where he was originally a skeleton. But then that skeleton started growing skin.
Then I became a drow, right.
But he wanted to be a skeleton.
That actually was Skell-E Tom.
That was Skell-E Tom. Wow.
Okay. It all comes together.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, as I was saying, we're on the scary island. We don't really know what to expect. We just landed there. We have no idea how to get back yet. We're going to have to build a boat or something, which is, you know, none of us know how to do that. We're not going to do it in a day. We start building a treehouse because we figure that's probably one of the safest places to sleep because we have no idea what kind of terrible monsters are lurking around at night yet. You know, you start with something small like that, and that was all good and everything. But then, of course, you know, you want to be a little more defensible, so you start putting a little defenses on the ground. Stuff like that, and one of our earliest nights there, I don't know if you guys remember this, but some of us started getting enchanted by pixies, I believe.
Yep.
And actually, I think it was only our other friend, I'm forgetting what her character's name was.
Yeah, I wouldn't know at that point, but I think it's like we just got like wiped out at a certain point. So she was like
this
a physical
was,
character.
This was after
Isaac
I threw
character.
Her at a window.
Yeah, she failed her will save, and then got basically hypnotized, and she went out into the middle of nowhere, and then we had to go try to save her.
Right.
Anyways, long story short, we end up kind of beating up those pixies and freeing them. There's like some kind of spell on them. I don't know what kind of curse they were under. Or they, was it that they thought we were invaders, or?
Well, that we were technically invaders, and we're like, no, we're staying on the beach. You're like, this is our land.
They thought we were murder hobos, basically. Yeah. So they were just trying to defend themselves. They weren't bad people.
So like, it's fair enough. And like, we're not trying to put them out of a home or anything. So anyways, we're talking to them. We're kind of all getting along. And we invite them, you know, why don't you guys come live at our place? You know, having some couple of, you know, extra eyes around, and especially somebody, you know,
that knows the land,
knows the place around here. Maybe, you know, that's going to be a little easier for us. This, kind of makes sense. And they're really small, so it's easy to support them. It's like, I don't even know. It's like,
I think we literally had like one of us ate
a day.
Yeah, we had like one burrow made for them around our treehouse, and they were like, all of them could live there.
Well, we put them in the attic, right? Of
It was
the tree stump at the time, but it was Bearville Inn.
The tree stump got broken that they were living in, huge tree stump. This is, I'm talking like 50 feet by 50 foot tree stump that they were living under.
It was pretty big.
Pretty fucking big. These trees are huge.
But yeah, that was a pretty fun. We actually got along with some of them. I feel as though we were a bit hostile at some point.
Well, because we didn't know, right? We just came to this island. We think everything's going to just murder face us.
We did. There was a really weird incident. I don't know how well you guys remember this, but we had an NPC that would kind of follow
impregnation.
Us. So that we had this NPC called Onai. He's very, very mysterious, and as far as we can tell, he's just a very powerful wizard.
I think he's more than that.
Now with hindsight, we know he's like the deity of fertility. So anyways, we got along with him, and we kind of convinced him to follow us around for a while. He wasn't that helpful in like fights or anything. He would just kind of bugger off.
But great commentary.
He was just cool to hang out with, so we're like, whatever, hang out with us, we'll feed you, hang out with us, and I don't know, we'll learn something.
Think of a Deckard Cain type.
Who?
Kind of like Deckard Cain. But anyways, what I brought this up because we find out very shortly that one of the pixies has been impregnated.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of a weird situation we had to deal with, and kind of finding out it was Onai and what was going on there. But I think
the real scary part is what's going to happen now. Like, what happens when a deity of fertility impregnates a pixie?
I think you make the,
he was
the
like
missing
humanoid
length
too.
You make the missing length, which can then possibly breed with a human or, and then
I think it's just going to come out a pixie.
I don't think he matters. There's
going
to be some half breeds, which happens in life. So
you've been watching too much of that Supernatural show.
I've been reading a lot.
So you've been
slack
doing. All right. Well, so I don't know. You know, the town gives you a lot of chances to have kind of fun stories around the same place.
Create your own world within a world.
Yeah, and you can suit it for your purpose. Like, we're washed up on this island, so we've got people to move in, basically working as sentries for us, kind of local guides for us. They're no fighters or anything, but it's not costing us much to have them hang around, so makes sense at the time.
And they have a lot of knowledge about this area. Like, we just got here. They know the land. They know the lore. They know what to look out for, what to stay away from, what you can touch, stuff like that.
Like, and it came in a lot of handy, like, almost immediately. So then we had some, there were some goblins.
They
started messing with us, right? We had no idea what was happening. Just every night, kind of, some stuff would go missing, some stuff would be broken. We'd hear footsteps or whatever around. We couldn't catch anything, couldn't find anything or whatever. And the pixies were able to point out, you know, maybe it's the goblins and kind of how to find them. So that one particularly was a bit of an interesting adventure.
Well, it would be cool to just be friends with some goblins, and I think that's the right
kind of was our idea.
We really tried.
We just got
Zion. I even saved one. I healed him. I brought him into our home to try to show him that, hey, we don't have to be hostile.
Yeah.
And you know what he did? He just got free, ate a pixie, and ran.
Yes.
It was crazy.
A pixie had to die from it.
So, it was disgusting. So we tried.
So we tried that. We murdered a lot of goblins. We built better forts. We got those two really nice
samurai twins.
Samurai twins to defend it. We're like, because, you know, it was a cool home base. Like,
yeah.
Did we have wyverns?
Well, part of this, when we were dealing with the goblins, it wasn't something where we could just go, you know, kill them all off in a day or something. It was, you know, we had to find them. There was a bunch of this. So we started building up like these really intense defenses around the town. Yeah. We were building up really big walls. We even had moats, some spike pits. We had towers
always
go up.
Always hire dwarven engineers. Whenever you're building your town, dwarves, every time, or nothing. Dwarves are bust.
They have very nice architecture.
Yeah, so they did us well. And, you know, we could come and go as we please. Now we know we'd be in good hands.
Yeah.
It's basically a fallback place. Like, if anything in our campaign goes horribly wrong, say we try to do a quest, fail miserably, everybody we're trying to work for dies, nobody likes us, we can just go back to Bearville and say, fuck everything else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but then...
start fresh.
Yeah.
Like, people realize, I guess, it was our tax evasion island and wanted it.
We'll deal with that when the day comes.
We weren't evading tax.
They just wanted to tax us.
They just wanted to tax us.
A tax man from the kind of mainland empire showed up one day, and he's like, hey, what's going on here? We said, hey, this is the town of Bearville. Welcome. You want a drink or something? And he said, no, this is like imperial land, and this is an illegal settlement, and you guys have to pay us tax. And we said, no, we own this place. We washed up here. Nobody else was living here. So now we live here. This is our island. You have to get out of here. And then that kind of started a bit of an issue with the Empire. I think that started our issues with them.
Well, it was more of a negotiation. Like, they came in and tried to bully us, and we basically saw right through their bullshit.
Yeah, no bullying.
Like, I think it wasn't a legitimate. It wasn't a legitimate like government thing. It was like,
and
them.
We called them out on it.
Yeah, and so.
But I think we did pay a little fee to make him just fuck off for a little bit longer. But he is going to probably be coming back.
Probably, just,
maybe we're strong enough now, though.
But
now
with
we're
the actual Empire,
we're up like, on our feet.
Plus, we've murder faced a lot of their kind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
So like, we're not that worried.
We've destroyed dragons already. It's the least of my concerns. The tax man.
Fucking tax man always gets you.
So yeah.
All right. So we did have to deal with magic orcs on the island as well.
The Oni.
They were also known as the Oni.
That got confusing.
It got very confusing.
Very confusing.
So, you know, maybe a good tip for your homebrew campaigns.
Have lots of names readily available.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so now you kind of know the state that Bearville currently is. This is actually a campaign we're still kind of playing right now. It's our longest running campaign. We kind of just keep coming back to it. Has a lot of our favorite stuff going on. Actually, it's been a very, very bloody adventure. We will.
Oh yes.
That's a story for another day. We'll do the Chronicles of Ruckus, which is the last original party member still standing.
Yes.
In a
the
very
only
long
original.
Line. And probably like insane. 20 deaths so far.
Yeah.
3 years, 4 years.
Like our DM even told us one day
he just
tries to kill us.
Yeah.
And
just to preface,
sometimes
this.
Don't die.
Our D&D sessions are what we like to call hard mode.
Yeah.
Everything like, what is it? Skill level? Challenge level, is that what it is? Challenge level?
Yeah, CR.
CR, challenge rating, sorry. We like to crank it up a notch because we like things to be very do or die. Like if you mess up, you're done.
Like Dark Souls, just because you run into an enemy doesn't mean right now is the time to fight them.
Oh, a treasure chest. No
plan.
Mimic. If that happens.
There's been a lot of mimics. There's been a lot of cursed weapons.
Oh,
there's been
God.
A lot of cursed items.
Yeah.
There's
been peer pressure.
Yeah.
a lot of hostile
into
people.
Taking cursed items.
Yeah, that are a lot of hostile high level. People.
High level yeah. hostiles.
We start off with a good campaign, turns into a bad campaign because some possessions that go way too far.
But no, it's been a fun. It's been a fun.
And
ride.
Then they come back, and we're still going at it. So we'll definitely chime in with that. But this is just kind of a small little snippet. We just want to kind of talk about, you know, introduce some of us, kind of talk about Bearville, what it means to us, how we came about even making something like this, why we like it, why we do plan to go back, why we're pretty sure it is self-sustained, and I'm gonna be very mad if things are going wrong there. Because every time there's something going wrong when we go back somewhere.
We don't visit things in many years, and they're usually of different characters that have absolutely no interest or back history.
Yeah, you guys have heard of the butterfly effect? We do something, we leave, we come back in 2 years, and apparently what we did made a big difference.
Yeah.
But
currently, one of the actual old player characters is living in Bearville looking over it. If you remember my I think it's called like a bear warrior.
Not Bronzebeard, I'll tell you that much.
Not Bronzebeard. Yeah, he
should have went back.
That's another story for another day. Let's just say the name of this podcast rings a really really big bell with that man.
Dungeons and Dudes?
Oh yeah. He is trapped in a dungeon forever.
If you've ever seen a dwarven gimp, that's him.
Unfortunately.
They like live forever too, don't they?
Yep.
As long as you keep him out of the sun.
Is sun really a negative towards him?
It can be.
No.
I didn't realize they're vampires.
No.
Bearville is a nice little anchor in this world that we've created to be our own little sanctuary against the ridiculousness of this world we are playing in.
Yeah.
And it's a hilariously ridiculous place.
Yep. But we do have stone walls now with a moat.
Mm-hmm.
We have an inn for when guests come up. We have a dock. We have a barracks with a guard tower.
Right.
We set up a little government to run stuff.
We don't have a trading system.
Everybody knows their role. And then we've got two elite samurai that we've purchased for life.
Yeah.
They are dead honor bound for life.
Are they training anyone?
We did a little bit of training. We got them all special weapons before we left. We even got
the other guards.
Yeah, we enchanted the weapons for the samurai as well. So they can run shit while we're gone.
The only thing I can think of is we need for them to have some sort of like replacement ready for them. Just in case, so they can continue the path that they're given, as well as establish like an import export business for trades and shit. Because like we don't have everything, but we might have something.
Well, we left them
valuable.
With tons of money, so they can order stuff if they need. But
I know,
we're not exporting anything.
We could probably find something to export that would be very interesting.
I think at one point we were talking about exporting pixies, but.
Well, no. Some sort of like jungle plant that like emits magic, like conductivity or whatever.
Yeah. No magic.
Just raw materials that's infused with magic.
Well,
who knows? Obviously, people are going to want that shit.
It is a magical island, and not many people are living there, so there's some way we can exploit it, but we got to go back.
Like, man, remember that floating castle we demolished? That stone's got to be worth something. I mean, we used a lot of it to build our walls. But like,
oh, I forgot there's a floating island on Nolt.
Yeah, it was like an upside down castle.
Yeah.
That's where the bad things happened. That's where I got bad touched.
That's where I got my chainsword.
A bad touch by Lord of Chaos. Still alive, but very bad touch. But I think that might wrap up our tale of Bearville. For the day. I don't know if you guys learned anything.
Well,
if you guys have any more questions, feel free to just ask.
Yeah. Where can they do that, Zach?
I don't know where we're releasing this yet.
Okay.
Well, I think you can catch us on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
But probably not for long.
Right.
We don't have any.
No website, right?
We have no way to find us right now. This is our first episode.
Right.
So we'll put it out there and just stay tuned, listeners.
Okay.
If you like us, you'll find us.
And if...
Or we'll find you.
Ooh.
Hopefully you guys have enjoyed our conversation and you've learned maybe even a little bit about your own self through this.
Right.
We will continue to do these and we'll get into some more topics. And if you guys want any specific topics, send us some shout outs. You tweet us.
Comment below.
Comment below wherever you found
them. Also, if you want to put in your own answers for the questions we were asked today, feel free.
Yes.
If we find one that's actually really good and, I don't know, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Send us pictures of your dice.
We'll try to do a YouTube thing with this too.
I want to see some nice dice.
Maybe we'll do some video apps.
Ooh, nice dice. Tell us, describe your dice.
Send us a pic. I won't tell.
Very specific details.
Christ, that's loud.
Wow.
Did you go inside a pop can to do that?
Did you go inside the microphone like a little mouse?
I actually spit all over my mic.
Mouse. <wild. laughs> All right, you're still super loud.
Awesome.
All right.
I think
let's take it down.
I think we're basically done here. I think I've said everything, and things that we're saying right now are just going to get cut.
Maybe. Well, I'm SC Thomas. Night News. Check it out. It's on SoundCloud. It's not a website. Limited episodes. So check them out.
Okay. So thanks for tuning in to Dungeons of Dudes. We will be back. Not sure where, not sure when, but it'll be soon. All right, Podsters, take it easy.